Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday. It is Chiefs week. Yes, everybody's getting riled up, ready for the big game coming up at Allegiant Stadium. Sunday night football, the 6-3 Raiders against the 8-1 Chiefs. And it's heating up a little bit, Q. This rivalry that died down a little bit. Of course, Derek Carr before the season said, hey, we gotta win some games to make it a rivalry. They've won one game now, a big one, obviously, earlier this year. And now everybody's getting a little testy.
Yeah, they are, because the Chiefs aren't expected to lose. You know, they don't expect to lose games, and lost their only game of the season to the Raiders. For some reason, they're thinking that little victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium was that big of a deal. It's not, but whatever gets you going, you know, that's fine. And so, it's kind of fun. You know, I have a couple friends that are Chiefs fans that have hit me up and was like, man, I'm glad that the rivalry's back. And I didn't realize after one win that it could be, you know, just a rivalry back already. But hey, it is. So it's all good.
It is. And the fans, the flames are being fanned, I should say, excuse my reverse order of my words, by the coaches, sort of. But of course, you know, you guys have now heard, I'm sure it's kind of the talk of Raider Nation. It's the talk of the NFL media around the fact that the Raiders purportedly, now I say purportedly because you don't know how true it is. After the game in Kansas City, after the big win, they had the bus, quote unquote, take a victory lap. Now, this is a victory lap is not something anybody from the Raiders organization either privately or publicly has ever said. OK, this is concocted, by the way, I believe, from some Kansas City media, knowing that this is a big game. And I have friends in the Kansas City media, but it is what it is. And they asked Andy Reid about it at the press conference that he had yesterday. And here's what Andy Reid said.
Well, they won the game, so they can do anything they want to do. They end up winning the game. That's not our style, but we'll get ourselves back, ready to play, and that's where we're at.
Now, it's not our style. If you want to read into that, you can. Even Clay Baker on our morning show thought that he felt that that was a shot at the Raiders, you know, basically saying, hey, who are you guys?
It was. Well, it was a statement saying we've been there, done that. It's one game. It's not a big deal. I mean, that's absolutely what he said, and that's okay.
Yeah, but I think some people are reading more into that. I mean, I agree with you, Q. It is that. I mean, you're the Super Bowl champions. You've won games, victory laps. Although this same Chiefs team beating the Jets was dancing on the field and doing all kinds of goofy stuff.
Right. Exactly.
So it happens. You know, players today. You know, I'm older, right? I'm 50 years old. So, like, I want players to get a touchdown and just run it in, and they drop the ball, and they're done. We got all the celebrations. We got people who do stuff like Cordell Patterson. Last night you saw on his way to the big kick return. You know, the players are different today. And I don't say it's bad. It's not my thing. But, you know, each generation's got its own deal, and I respect that because it's their time. So, So the Raiders taking a victory lap, but what was it really? So they asked John Gruden about it yesterday, and of course, Gruden had a much more, I think, direct response to it, and we'll talk about what he meant here.
Not really. I mean, you can find a smart aleck bus driver in Kansas City who made some snide comments when we got on the bus. Maybe that's why we drove around the stadiums, to tick him off. You know, this is ridiculous. Next question.
And Q, that made it sound like to me that John Gruden was saying, look, yeah, we took the victory. We took the extra rung around the ring of Arrowhead Stadium, but it wasn't for a victory lap. It was because some bus driver pissed him off, and he decided to make him drive an extra round around the stadium.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, the bus driver was probably talking a little bit of noise, and the Raiders had a good time with it and made him, you know, ride around the stadium. I don't think it's a big deal, but again, anything that can motivate players or whatever to, you know, feel like they've been slighted at all, go for it. I'm all for it. Go for it. If that's what they have on the walls of the locker room there while they're practicing this week, preparing for the Raiders, and that's what the Chiefs do, great. You know, so be it. I'm not mad at them. Just do what you do.
Yeah, and I think that it's look, bulletin board fodder. Now it's really social media. I don't think they don't use bulletin boards. These players are tied in. They're with their phones like everybody else in the world. They know exactly what's going on. And John Gruden firing back at that. You know, each team uses it. It's not like one team gets an advantage because of it, in my view. But you know what? Two things that I think if you're a Raider fan, I wouldn't be angry. Like you said, Q, don't be angry about it. That's great. No. The Chiefs are worried about the Raiders.
Right. I mean, they're talking about it at the very least. I don't know if it's really worried, but they're talking about it.
Maybe worried isn't the right word, but they're thinking about the Raiders. And I'm not just talking about the normal, hey, we play the Raiders this week. I'm talking about, hey, the Raiders beat us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really important game. Let's not forget that the Raiders now, if they were to beat the Chiefs on Sunday, which Q has predicted they will, then they are undefeated in the division. They're 4-0 in the division. The Chiefs would have two division losses.
Yep.
Right? That's a big deal.
No, it is. It's a huge deal. Look, I mean, I've been saying since the beginning of the season, since before the beginning of the season, I felt that the playoffs was a fair goal for the Raiders to get this year, year three under John Gruden. I was expecting it to be a wild card spot. I thought that that was their best opportunity, was to make the playoffs by way of wild card. But you go in there and you win this game on Sunday night against the Chiefs. Now you're starting to look at the division saying, you know what, there's an opportunity and a chance that we might just be able to go ahead and win this division. And so the game changes. I just think that the biggest concern or the biggest goal for the Raiders at first, originally when this season started, at least for me, was to make the playoffs. I don't care how you get there. But if you get an opportunity to win the division, go for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, I said it yesterday, if the Raiders were to lose Sunday, not the end of the world as far as them getting to the ultimate goal this year, which was the playoffs, but they have the opportunity to, I think, start to change the entire AFC, at least for this year and this strange year, because you beat the Chiefs now, you're in the driver's seat for the division, and the Chiefs they're playing this week to try to keep up with the Steelers for home field advantage.
Right.
That's a big advantage for your team when you go into the playoffs on the AFC side. So they have a couple of things. They want to win their division. They want to keep in reach of the Steelers, who are undefeated at this point, and have that home field advantage through the AFC, even though we're only in week 10. So all of these things are playing in. So to me, Andy Reid floated it, or somebody in the Chiefs floated it with the local media there to drum it up. I mean, that's what happens. These coaches are smart. That's why when you used to hear Al Davis talk about paramilitary, you know, the whole military analogy with football, it's true. And so is psychological warfare.
Right.
And that's what you're hearing here. But we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, just on today's show. By the way, Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash, injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Today, our good friend Jesse Merrick joins us at 2:30. We'll talk about the defense and its progress, but we'll also talk about this as well. But I know a guy we already got a caller online. You ready?
Hold on.
Yo.
We got to get to the breaking news, too.
Oh, you got some breaking news for us. Break it.
Okay. The Raiders have placed Cleveland Farrell and LaMarcus Joyner on the reserve COVID-19 list. That's big.
Oh, my. See? This happens every time we get on the air.
I know, and that's a good thing. On my other radio show, we never get to break news.
There you go.
On this one, I'm glad that we always get to break news, but that is a big stinking deal.
Yeah, so Cleveland Farrell, LaMarcus Joyner, both on the COVID list for the Chiefs game. That's a huge deal.
And it's not confirmed if they were COVID positive or if it's just contact tracing, but they're on the reserve COVID-19 list, and it's Tuesday.
Wow.
Of Chiefs week. Big deal.
Wow. So there you go. Breaking news, Q Myers with the breaking Raiders news. Wow. Well, we'll have to digest that. In the meantime, we'll go out to our man, Gangster Raider, who I'm sure he'll say something about the bus trip around Arrowhead Stadium. What's up, man?
Yeah. What's happening, man? I love that. You know what I'm saying? I'm King Teddy. So I love stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? When you get the win, rub it in. If y'all don't want us to do nothing, then don't let us win. You know what I'm saying? But that's big news. Cleveland and all of LaMarcus, dang, that's because I was just going to say, I think there's going to be a big game for Cleveland for real because they went out and signed Le'Veon Bell because when we beat them, you know what I'm saying, that was a knee-jerk reaction to us beating them, that Le'Veon Bell signing, and I was thinking Cleve Fee was going to have to put it on him, but the next man up going to have to do it then. You know what I mean? Whoever's stepping up for Cleve Fee going to have to make sure Le'Veon Bell does not have a big game because that was a signing for us. They changed up their whole offense and their personnel after we went in their house and beat them. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to beat them again. And even JT the Brick, I told him we was going to beat him the first time. JT the Brick thought I was crazy, and he said if we beat him this time, he going to fly me up to Vegas or whatever. he don't believe that we're going to sweep him. We're going to sweep him, and we can win a division because we're going to be the first team to beat them, the first two, you know, give them their first two losses. Other teams going to copy our blueprint of how to beat them. If we can get two other teams to beat them, we win a division if we handle our business the rest of the way. I'm feeling good. I think Q right. We're going to beat them. We're going to win the division, and we're going to be on our way to the Super Bowl. All we got to do is get in it, and we can win it. You know what I'm saying? You heard it from Gangsta Raider first.
All right, there you go.
I've been knowing Mo Moten for a few years now. Mo Moten been one of my homies for like 4 or 5 years now. Shout out to Mo Moten, who y'all be talking to on Fridays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's me, Gangsta Raider.
You know what? He told me, he messaged me this morning, Gangsta Raider, saying that, hey, you're gonna get a caller today, a guy I've known for a while, and it'll surprise you. And I'm like, why would it surprise me? But Mo's good people, man. He's a great writer. He writes for our website, and obviously he comes on here as well with us. So good stuff. I appreciate the call,
bro. That's my dude.
He's a good man. All right, man. You take care. All right. So there you go. Cleveland Furl and LaMarcus Joyner, reserve COVID list. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I was going to bring up David Irving today, Q, who played really well in the snaps that he did play. And now they're going to, I think, going to have to rely a lot on him with Cleveland Furl. Of course, that Field Yates from ESPN reported that just as we were coming on the air earlier. So they're going to have to, you know, hey, just like on the offensive line, you're going to have to find somebody to step up on the defensive front and on the back end for LaMarcus Joyner.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I'm sure we'll get news before, but at the very end of the day, we'll probably learn by the time we talk to Vinny if it is actually positive cases or contact tracing, which is a big difference. If it's contact tracing, these guys could be available for the game. But if it's positive test, then they're done.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll see because, yeah, if they tested positive yesterday or today, then they could get back for Sunday. So that would be that would be huge. But wow. So we'll continue to monitor that. I have a text out to Vinny, who'll be with us later as well in the show, as he always is most of the week. He'll be here around 3:40. So we'll get the latest. I'm sure he'll have the latest information for us as well. We're also going to talk about our sided debate of the week, which is should Nicholas Morrow, who was a guest on our morning show here on Raider Nation Radio this morning, should he get more snaps? And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, and I agree that he should. So we'll see. But, you know, it's just with this stuff, we said it the last few weeks, we've seen the number of COVID cases go up nationally. And in the NFL, I think you're just going to see it start to work through rosters, right? And you're starting to see it through the Raiders. And again, hopefully these guys, number one is health. You want these guys to be okay. And as long as they're okay, and maybe they were just exposed and they can get back on the field really quick.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, you know. And Kansas City's got some offensive linemen that are going through it right now. Not sure if they're going to get back or not, but at the same time, it's hitting every single team, man. We've talked about it all season long. It could be any team, any player, any time could pop up with it, and then there you go.
Yeah, and clearly with the Raiders' history with the fines and all that stuff, there's nothing related to that. This is just simply guys getting tested, and whether they test positive or they were around, and if it's the contact tracing thing, which is the best case scenario, then that's good. That means everybody was doing what they're supposed to and following protocol, and that works. So
let me ask you this real quick, Scott, because someone asked me, and I don't know the answer. But there was pictures of Trent Brown on the field on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, and I think someone asked me, like, he's allowed to be around the players even though he's, you know, due to COVID-19, like, he's going through it right now, even though we don't know if he's still positive or what the case is. But he was there with a mask on. It just kind of made me wonder as well. It's like, yeah, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The pictures of him on the field or pictures he took from the field? Oh.
No, he was on the field. He was. I saw him before the game and then saw him along the sideline as well.
Yeah, well, although he's been on the COVID list, if he tested positive, we still don't know where he's at. Like, for example, did he go through the quarantine period, and is he past that? And if he's past that, then maybe he's allowed on the field. That's a good question, though. I don't know. We'll have to ask. I will send a note to the Raiders, but that's a good listener question. I didn't know what happened there, so we'll see. But, yeah, it's hard to keep track of it all and what's going on there, so I'm not sure. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But nonetheless, interesting days to say the least. But Q, as you look at this Raiders team too, I think people are getting really excited about this game on Sunday night, and they should be. At the same time, you know, I saw somebody, even Matt Fallon, who writes for our website, wrote in his good, okay, and ugly column that he writes on Tuesdays, he said, hey, the Raiders just need to do what they did against the Broncos and run the ball. And I don't necessarily agree. I think you got to establish the run. But if you're going to beat Kansas City, you're going to have to score points and you're going to have to throw the ball. I don't think you're going to be able to rack up 200 yards against the Chiefs and win a game.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, you just really never know. I have no problem with it if they're going to go and run, you know, the ball and get 200 yards and they're able to capitalize. That's the thing. You can get yards 20 to 20. You can get a bunch of yards. But if you're not getting in the end zone, then that's a recipe for disaster. You know, I mean, ultimately, I don't care how you do it. You've got to get into the end zone. If you eliminate some of the possessions that the Chiefs have, then fine. I'm okay with that. But if it turns into a shootout, then you're going to have to definitely air it out. I personally think that they're going to have a heavy dose of both. I mean, I think that you're going to see a very balanced attack. But, you know, if something's cooking a little bit better than the other, then roll with it until they stop you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to have both. You're going to have to throw the ball more. I mean, the last two games, and again, it's about winning games. So it's not about stats and about Carr stats or Ruggs stats or Waller stats. But I think with this team, you're just going to have to do it. They're ready for what they saw last time. Andy Reid coming off the bye. Of course, we keep hearing about that, but it's true. And so they're going to have to come with an approach. And this is where coaches really make their money, man. I mean, they come out, they got to have the right plan to attack this Chiefs defense and to keep that offense moving, whether it's through the air or on the ground. And I think they can do it. I really like this Raiders offense and what they're able to do and the game planning that they've had thus far. Yes, sometimes John Gruden gets really conservative and it drives me nuts as somebody watching the game, but it's worked. It's really worked.
Right. And think about this. I mean, look, against Denver, I don't think that they even had the ball in the third quarter, did they?
No. Well, they had.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
if the Raiders can have a 9 or 10 minute drive, I mean, that works.
Yeah. No, that's.
But you got to score. You got to score a touchdown. Quick side note to Sean Reed, who's been on the show multiple times from The Athletic, put out a tweet saying it would take multiple negative tests, but both players could potentially finish their 5-day isolation starting today in time to play on Sunday. So that goes to Clee Ferrell and LaMarcus Joyner.
Good. Well, hopefully that's the case.
Exactly.
If they don't test positive. So that might tell maybe Tashaun's got some information that they didn't test
that
positive.
Contact tracing.
Yeah, that would be good. Because we're starting to see more staff in the NFL test positive. We got that report today from the NFL. Players, usually it's anywhere from like 10 to 20 a week-ish that pop for positive tests. But on the staff side, it seems to go higher. So, which makes sense because those people are out of the building more. They're in less controlled situations on a daily basis. So we'll see how it all goes down. But anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our good friend Jesse Merrick from News 3 Las Vegas. We'll talk to him about the whole bus deal, what that means for the Raiders. We'll also talk about the Raiders defense. Now we have two players who might be out that we just found out about. But we'll ask him about that progress, get his view on that as he watches practice and the games up close every game, every practice. So we'll do that with Jesse Merrick coming up after the break. You're with your boy Q Myers, Scott Branson here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, listen, I think it's two good football teams playing each other. I don't think probably either team likes each other that much, as they stated before. So, you know, we get ourselves ready to play against a good football team. I think that's most important.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
What? Welcome back. Silver and Black today. Chiefs coach Andy Reid talking about how these teams don't like each other.
Not wrong.
No. John Gruden and Andy Reid do, though. They're good buddies, actually. Now, not on the field on game day.
Right. I mean, you got to have respect for,
of course.
Andy Reid is a pro's pro. He's a hell of a coach, you know, so you can't get mad at that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you listen to some people.
I mean, you can, but
it's,
you know.
Yeah, it's sort of whatever. You get a little too, be a fan, but that doesn't mean you have to want everybody to keel over and have issues and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, some people will be that way in the cesspool. But nonetheless, we're back here. Your boy Q Meyer, Scott Cobranson, Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, as we roll into a discussion now. We're going to bring on our good friend Jesse Merrick. Jesse covers the Raiders for News 3 in Las Vegas and joins us every Tuesday afternoon. Jesse, the big news, obviously, Cleland Furl and LaMarcus Joyner are right now on the COVID reserve list. If they can test positive over the negative over the next 5 days, they can return to the field for the game Sunday. But a big curveball early in Chiefs week.
Yeah, definitely not what we were expecting to be talking about today, right?
No.
It's going to be interesting, but I guess if, you know, the silver lining there, you know, in terms of if Klee isn't available, we saw how well Arden Key played. So, you know, he's back. He's feeling better. You know, David Irvin, I heard you guys talking about him as well. He's another guy that flashed. So along the defensive line, you know, they've got some guys that have been playing well. The big question would be if, you know, Joyner can't go, Amik Robertson, we've seen kind of hot and cold from him. So that'd be kind of a question mark as well. But we'll see. Hopefully it's just one of those things where they kind of came in contact with somebody and didn't test positive. And, you know, from there, and they're not really showing any symptoms or anything, then they'll have a shot to hopefully play on Sunday. But I know Raider Nation is probably going to have their breath holding their breath a bit in the next days. That's for sure.
That's right.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
Okay. No, I was going to say, so Jesse, this is, you know, we're only going to talk about it in the early part of the show, and then we're going to move on. But the whole thing with the bus, right? The whole thing with the victory lap, you know, it's funny because you look at these guys, you look at the Chiefs who've done on-field celebrations this season after they were pounding the Jets, they're pounding other teams. And suddenly to think that they're getting angry about the Raiders taking an extra loop around Arrowhead Stadium. What do you make of that? Is it just, it's just a two veteran coaches playing off each other, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, the person that's on the top of the hill that always wins, doesn't lose very often, they're always kind of sore losers, and they can do whatever they want when they win, but somebody beats them, it's like, oh, they have no class if they do something. That's kind of how it always is, right? So I think that's maybe a situation like that, but I'm all for the extra lap making the bus drive for that. That's some next level pettiness from John Gruden over here, and I thought that was hilarious.
No, it really was. And, you know, I know it's only Tuesday and we're going to hear about it all week long. But, you know, Andy Reid and the Chiefs are really good coming off the bye. It's something that, like I said, we're going to hear about all week. Something that I thought was a factor at the beginning of the season. It made me, you know, doubt that the Silver and Black could pick up this victory on Sunday. But I've changed my mind just by the way that the Raiders are playing. I feel like they could pick up this win on Sunday. What is your gut feeling? Again, it's only Tuesday, but what's your gut feeling on this game?
I mean, my gut feeling is it's going to be hard to get the Chiefs twice, but I also didn't think they had it in the first game. I'm going to be completely honest, and I don't think the people did. But they showed they can do it, so if that's the case, man, there's no reason that they can't do it again. It's just going to be tough because, you know, the Chiefs are going to be fully locked in, you know, and Mahomes is probably going to feel like he's got something he's got to prove to beat him, things like that. And, you know, the Chiefs aren't necessarily the team you want to really give any sort of motivation to, and they've got it. But again, like you said, the Raiders are about three straight. You know, the defense seems to be playing better. You know, we don't have an excuse for weather. They did it in a dome. And, yeah, it was against the Broncos team that's prone to turn the ball over. But a sign of a good team is the teams are supposed to. And so that's what they're doing. That's what they've started to do. And, again, those games within the division are not easy games no matter who you're playing. You got to be excited if you're a Raiders fan where they're at right now in this game. This is the best situation they could possibly be in as they face the Chiefs again, even though they are coming off a bye. That's definitely a tough draw. I know Gruden said he was like, oh, yeah, it must be a coincidence that this happens like every time they play them off of a bye. But you just got to roll with it and take the cards you're dealt, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Jesse Merrick from News 3 in Las Vegas covers the Raiders, is here with us. And Jesse, this defense, you know, I think a lot of people, it's not a fully baked defense yet. They're still working out their kinks. They're still getting better, still trying to, I think, establish the identity of who they really are as a unit. And you have now, of course, the breaking news with the COVID situation with Furl and LaMarcus Joyner. But I really like what I've seen over the progression of these three games. Again, not 100% there, but if you're a Raider fan, you know, I saw some fans were dismissing the performance against the Broncos, and like you said, division games are tough. What have you seen mostly that gives you hope that this defense has turned the corner for good?
I've seen just them doing it in multiple ways, which has been nice. Like the diversity in the schemes that they're throwing out there. I mean, I talked, to you guys about it last week or the week before about the way that they're using Jonathan Abram. I mean, that guy is all over the field, the way they blitz with him. That's what offenses have to before, and the way they're doing it with just different guys. I mean, obviously, Heath has come up big with the two interceptions, but then Morrow comes in and has a heck of a game. He looks like he's playing great, you know, has a real command of the system there and that whole deal. And then you have Kwiatkowski coming through with a pick. Nassib gets a pick. I mean, they're rotating guys on the defensive line, and all of them are being effective in their rushing and things like that. The thing that really stood out to me yesterday, what was it, Sunday, was the way the D linemen were shooting their gaps. I mean, how many times do we look up and see a D lineman in the backfield disrupting the handoff or making Drew Lock get uncomfortable and have to take off to the right or left? I mean, that was something that was really, you know, exciting to see the Raiders be able to get rolling, and that's what stuck out to me. And so the simple fact that they're executing better, which is something they've said, and I know it's kind of lame to say that you know, they just weren't executing before, but it's clear that they are, and it's clear that they're more comfortable in the offense. I mean, just the communication alone, you can tell the guys are talking, that they're sorting their way through different problems that the offense throws at them. Something we maybe didn't see earlier on in the season. They kind of looked lost at times, and I didn't see that as much over the last couple weeks here.
What are your thoughts on some guys on the defensive side of the ball that have been getting a lot of talk from Raider Nation? And that's Nicholas Morrow, the linebacker, then Jeff Heath. Both had pretty good games. Obviously, Heath came up with a couple interceptions. But what are your thoughts on those two guys moving forward as far as getting more playing time defensively?
Yeah, I mean, hey, the two people that everybody loves to go after the most got to be Eric Harris and Corey Littleton, right? I mean, those are two guys that people are like, all right, we got to see more out of them. And the two guys that are behind them that have come in and played more have played better. So, I mean, I think you have to give them more of a shot. Obviously, the situation with Littleton is a little tricky because of the money and everything that he was brought in to do. But if you go purely based off of what you've seen on tape, and it is a small sample size for Morrow, I think you got to give him more of a shot. Again, I thought that he seemed like he was around out there. You know, he had a nice command of the system. I believe he had five tackles, one sack, tackle box, hit the QB twice. I mean, he was flying around. He got in there on a pressure with the pick to Nap. So that was big as well. So he came up big at big times in the game and helped, you know, elevate the guys around him. So I think he definitely deserves more time. And when you make plays the way that he does, you put the guy out there more. I mean, he's come up big at big times again. Think how crucial that pick was right before the half. That's if the interception gets the Chiefs, that seals the deal for them. I mean, a guy that does that, you have to throw him out there. And he's also been pretty good in coverage compared to how, you know, Eric Harris has been. And also Littleton, he's been one of the most inept guys in coverage, which sucks to say because that's what he's brought in to do. But, you know, Morrow didn't necessarily look like an all-star in coverage, but he definitely played a lot better in coverage against Fant and against the running backs as well.
Jesse Merrick, News 3, Las Vegas, joins us. Jesse, I said to Q earlier, he doesn't necessarily agree with me. I really think that this game against the Chiefs, the Raiders are going to have to win it in the air because I think they're going to key in on that run game. It's going to be not that the Raiders won't be able to run the ball. I think they will to a certain degree, but I think they're going to have to win it through the air. They're going to have to get those big catches from Waller, from Ruggs, from Renfro, those guys. How do you see this game unfolding? Do you think it's going to be a shootout or do you think it's going to be more of a grind for both teams?
Well, I mean, purely based on the defense of the Raiders alone, as they're continuing to prove themselves, I think it'll be a shootout in that sense. But I think the Raiders, I think they need to win the game by throwing it and, you know, throwing it deep, things like that. They averaged, they had guys, I got the stats pulled up from the last game. They had guys that caught balls of 72 yards, 59, 42 yards, 23 yards, 23 yards. So, I mean, big chunk plays that they're having against the Chiefs here. And I remember after we watched that game, everyone's talking about how aggressive John Gruden was in his play calling and that, like, we hadn't seen that. So, like, very clear, they think they have to be aggressive in order to beat the Chiefs. I kind of side with you on it. I think you make Pat Mahomes sideline and you play defense. And, you know, maybe they have a little more confidence in their defense going with this. You know, the big question is going to be, what's their plan? Do they continue to go after him and pressure him with unique looks like they've done the last couple weeks? Or do they sit back in coverage and rush four and, you know, have about six out there and hope to contain those receivers again like we kind of saw the previous time when they played? It's that weird game of, what are they going to do? Are they going to be slaves to what worked before, or are they going to try and add some more and do something different? I think, don't get too pretty. Do what got you there and make the crews, make the Chiefs take you out of that. So I think they should be chucking it, to be completely honest. As much as I want to say it, put Mahomes on the sidelines, maybe this thing and do it.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines is the best place for him. But, you know, something that I think that they're playing with, and another reason why I think the Raiders win this game Sunday night, I just feel like they're playing with such confidence right now, and they're flying around. And look, I know Cleve Ferrell, if he's out, and LaMarcus Joyner, that's a big deal. But I just feel like they're flying around, and with that confidence and kind of swagger that they're playing with, that goes a long ways. And when you believe in yourself, as they have obviously shown in this three-game winning streak, that can go a long way. And you feel like you're kind of playing with house money, not to be a Las Vegas pun, but it's kind of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is. And the thing that sticks out to me in terms of the confidence factor is, you know, Jeff even said after I was talking to him about the interception that he had, the second one, and he said, you know, I got to hand it to the coaches. They put us in the right positions. They had a good book on the offense for the Broncos. So it's clear that they have confidence in their coaching staff, and that's a long way, because if you go into it confident in what you're doing and think you have a good book on a team, and also how could they make the Chiefs ready, that confidence is going to be huge in that sense. But then also the fact that no matter who it's been, offense, defense, whatever, backups, whoever it is, they come in and they execute. So they've found something. They've found some sort of potency that they've used that has enabled them to execute no matter who's in the game, and whether it's along the offensive line or when they got stuff in more, whoever it is. So that has to be sky high for them. And on a young team, too, it's got a lot of guys that are fairly young playing and then making a difference for you. Confidence is everything, because if those guys checked out of it, good luck beating anybody. But if you give a team confidence, that's a really scary thing.
Jesse, you know, you look around the NFL, the Raiders are starting to get a little of that national attention because they have a 6-3 record. And the league is in such a strange place because we're seeing, I mean, look what's happened in the NFC. The NFC East is just absolutely brutal. There's been a lot of surprises. You know, the Seahawks looked unstoppable to start the year. Now they're struggling. So the Raiders sitting at 6-3, the Dolphins sitting at 6-3. What do you make of this NFL season this year and where the Raiders can play in there? Because, you know, our serial caller, Gangster Raider, says, hey, look, he's now thinking this team can go to the Super Bowl. I'm not there yet. But in this type of COVID-19 season, really anything could happen, couldn't it?
Hey, I mean, crazier things have happened, right? 2020 keeps surprising us. Maybe the Raiders will. I'm with you, Scott. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they should be in that conversation. But I definitely think that they're in the playoff conversation. And once you play, anything can happen. And given 2020 and COVID, you don't know who's going to be available and who's not going to be. I mean, teams could have an entire group wiped out but still have to play playoffs, and this is the NFL, and we're going to keep. So, I mean, I'm with you, man. Anything can happen. I just got to pump the brakes on the Super Bowl. Maybe give them a couple more free agency classes, things like that, and let's see this defense continue to do it against good teams. I will stop bagging on the defense if they have a good weekend against. I always say I want to see more. I want to see more. Well, if they do it against the Chiefs twice, even though they gave up two last, I'll shut my mouth and I'll say Raider Nation got a good defense.
And Jesse, before I let you go, if the Raiders do beat the Chiefs on Sunday, do you think they tie up that division? Do you think they're going to win the division?
I mean, you beat the Chiefs. The way the rest of the schedule works out for you, I mean, you got to be liking where you're at if you're a Raiders. So, yeah, I'll come out and say if they beat the Chiefs this weekend, I think they're going to win the division.
All right. There you go. Jesse Marek always joins us on Tuesday. Jesse, we always appreciate your insights and adding to the conversation here, my friend. We will talk to you next week, and we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go. Jesse Marek. And I agree with him. I think if they win Sunday, Q, like you say they're going to, I mean, you'd have to lose two of those games in the division, right? I mean, I just think the Raiders get on a roll. It's going to be hard to stop them.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, like I said, that confidence continues to grow. We'll see. I like to take it week by week and just see how it shakes out. You know, maybe the Raiders just have their number. Like, there was a time, you know, and Tom Cable, I believe, was the head coach when the Raiders went undefeated in their division and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I believe they went 8-8 that year. They won every game in their division and a couple outside and did not make the playoffs. So, you know, there's a lot of work still to be done, but I like the direction that the team is going. One quick note, in that game that they had against Kansas City the first time, why I keep saying that, you know, I think that it's going to be a very balanced attack and you're going to see, you know, the Raiders possess the ball for a long time. I mean, that's what they did the first time they played, week five.
Yep.
They had the ball for 35 minutes.
Yeah, that second half was
to amazing. Kansas City's 24.
Yeah, didn't Kansas
you do that? You're winning.
Didn't Kansas City only have three possessions the second half, I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was
insane. And look, I mean, Derek Carr still threw the ball 31 times and had a good day doing it. So, I mean, that goes back to what you're saying about throwing the ball around the yard. But just the time of possession is so critical 9 times out of 10. It doesn't always mean you're going to win the game. The Raiders have proven that. But you know, it's really a good factor if you can do that.
Yeah, it goes back to something you said earlier, which is balance, right? You can run the ball and throw the ball around the yard too. Mm-hmm. And it in that first game, they certainly did both in different times too. It was phases of the game through the first and second half, which were a little bit different, but it worked and they came away with the victory. By the way, with Joyner out in the slot, our guest yesterday, Nevin Lawson, I would assume moves into the slot cornerback position, Q. And then also Vic Tafer from The Athletic reporting Corey Littleton probably not returning this week, so Nicholas Marr will be back out there, which is a good thing.
Okay. Well, then Nick Robertson, too. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more burn.
All right. Yeah, exactly. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, he needs to. He needs experience because you got to get on the field. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was reading a note from Bobby and I got distracted. All right, we're going on the phones real quick before we go to break. It's our good friend Matt in Hoboken. Matt, how you doing today on this Tuesday?
What's up, guys? I got a few points today.
Okay.
All right.
I think Colton Miller needs to play this week for us to have a real shot at winning this game. He's a big part. Losing Joyner, I think, is an addition by subtraction. He doesn't make many big plays, and I think I don't think Gruden will throw Amik Robinson out there in a game like this. I think you'll see Nevin Lawson and maybe even Isaiah Johnson in the slot. The Cleveland Farrell loss, if he's not available, is a loss more so than Joyner, but we have bodies there now with Key, Nassib, and Irvin, I think, so if they could fill in, it shouldn't be that bad. I think we had our best defensive performance of the year this past week without Littleton on the field, so maybe there's something to that. I don't think 9 wins is going to be enough to get us in the wild card, even with that third spot. If you're looking at this wild card competition this year, it's real deal. There's 4 teams with 6 wins vying for that spot. I think we're going to need to win 10 games to get in that. I wouldn't be surprised if Farrell and Joyner test positive if the league comes down on us again and maybe takes another draft pick away. That's something to look at. And the last thing I'll say is, so Tariq Hill can flash the peace sign in our faces every time he scores a touchdown, but we can't drive the bus around the stadium a few times after we crack them.
Amen.
I say next time we beat them at Arrowhead, we fly the plane over the stadium.
Matt in Hoboken. That's a mic drop right there. I love it, buddy. Thank you so much. And you're right. I've seen some people tweeting that, oh, we're going to lose another draft pick. Look, you do not lose. Teams have not been punished for guys testing positive.
No.
They've been punished for violating protocol. Violating protocol, if you test positive and you've gone through and you've worn your bracelet and you just do your thing, and even if you went to the grocery store and you wore your mask and you got COVID, you don't get punished for that. So I hear what you're saying, Matt, but again, I'm not going to jump to victim mentality. I don't think they're going to get punished for players testing positive. We haven't seen that from the NFL anywhere. Really?
No. It's look, if you get reckless and do stuff that goes against the protocol, that's when you get caught up, but not before. Not if it's just one of those cases that just happens to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're up against a break here. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 702-365-9200. Tell me how you're feeling about this news today, more COVID news with the Raiders, and also, of course, the Chiefs game coming up. And we'll talk a little more, too, about the Raiders rising in the rankings nationally among the pundits. We'll talk about what that means here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Oh, his preparation is legendary. He's a great coach. He's a great person. He gets his team to play for him. He can really handle game day situations. He's got great experience, got great confidence in his players, and he's not afraid to pull the trigger and use some unconventional ways to do it, move the football in. I just got a lot of respect for him, and I know he's going to do thorough preparation. It'll be a juggernaut coming in here Sunday, and we'll just have to have a great week of practice and do the best we can.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black today on this Tuesday. We're talking Raider football, of course, because we're on your station. Raider Nation Radio 920. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson. If you missed the breaking news at the top of the show, Cleland Furl and LaMarcus Joyner, COVID-19 list as of today, reported by Field Yates. So we'll see how that all breaks out and how the fallout will affect the Raiders defense. If those guys can test positive for five consecutive days, or negative, God, I keep saying that, negative for five consecutive days, they can get on the field for Sunday. By the way, also some other breaking news. It looks like the Chiefs are going to bring in cornerback DeAndre Baker for a visit.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. He just got cleared.
Yes.
All robbery charges dropped.
Dropped. Yes. So
that was major, man. That was major. Huge. This dude, he's really going to have an opportunity now to, try to get his career going back again. It was already off to a slow start in New York with the G-men, but now he's got a new opportunity, and we'll see where he lands. But he was a heck of a talent at Georgia. We'll see what he does in the NFL.
Yes, and obviously, even if he goes in for a visit and signs with the Chiefs, he wouldn't be eligible to play Sunday, so the Raiders won't see him, at least now. They won't see him till the playoffs, right? So we'll see how that works out. We're going to get out to a bunch of our callers here. We got a bunch stacked up, so we want to get to you guys quickly. We're going first, we got four callers in four different states, Q. You ready?
Nice. I like it.
All right. We're going first, home state, the battle-born state. We're going to Nevada, Henderson, to be exact. Brian is with us. Brian, what's going on today, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Scott? What's going on, Q? Didn't hear earlier what Gangster Radio were saying, but I just caught the glimpse of what you guys were just talking about. Early in the season, I was just saying I'd be happy if we just make the playoffs. I still kind of stand by that because we haven't been since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But with one of the guys that said on NFL Network early in the morning with Nate Burleson, I forgot his name, I apologize. But he said, if we beat Kansas City, why wouldn't we have the potential to go to a Super Bowl?
Right.
If we knock off Kansas City twice, that puts us in Super Bowl contention. They're the cream of the crop, supposedly, correct?
Yeah.
Defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
So that should put us there. But like I just said, I'm happy with baby steps. Let's make the playoffs first. But if we beat them, they're going to start talking about us in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Brian, good call, man. I appreciate you. I'll tell you, like, for example, NFL.com has their power rankings. Today they reviewed us watching NFL Network. They have the Raiders up to number 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the talking heads were on there, the guys who do what we do. And they said basically if they beat the Chiefs, then they're going to turn the AFC all the way upside down. If they lose to the Chiefs, then it kind of, they'll still be a playoff team, but they're going to be a borderline playoff team.
Well, the problem is if they lose to the Chiefs on Sunday night, most people, the talking heads, the big national cats, are going to say, well, see, it was a fluke.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They
won't
teams.
Credit them that they went in there with a good game plan and solidly beat them. Mm-hmm. They'll say that it was more that the Chiefs weren't playing their A game. I heard Travis Kelce talking today on NFL Live about that situation and said, I didn't play a very good game. I didn't lead the team like I should have. Yeah, the Raiders did well, but I needed to do better, and I'll do that on Sunday. So it's more like what the Chiefs didn't do as opposed to what the Raiders did do. So it's, you got to go and do it again to say, hey, no, it's not a fluke because now we've done it twice.
And to quote a famous football philosopher that many of you might know, just win, baby. If you just win on Sunday, you ain't got to worry about any of that. All right, we're going out to BDT in San Jose, California. What's up, BDT?
408.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Cool. Yeah, so, earlier today you were talking about how in 2010 the Raiders, they went 8-8 and missed the playoffs. And I was looking, and I was wondering, Kansas City, they ended up winning the division that year, but they lost four divisional games. I was wondering, how is that possible that they lost four divisional games, Raiders went 8-8 and still finished third in the division?
We'll look at overall record.
Mm-hmm. 10-6 compared to 8-8, yeah.
Yeah.
There you
go. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to get you every day of the week and twice on Sunday, brother.
That's
definitely.
It.
Just one last question. I was wondering, you guys were talking about Raiders not being Super Bowl contenders this year. If the window is not now, when does the window start? Thank you.
Yeah, no, good. That's question, BDT. Question. It's a great question.
Mic drop. No, that's a great question. I love it.
Yeah, I said, just like you did, the goal was you're rebuilding the team. You're in year three. You got to get to the playoffs. After year three, you get to 4-5. I think that's when it is. 4, 5, and 6, man. Especially when you look at the contracts. You have the veteran quarterback. You have the rookie class that's going to basically cash out if they continue to do well in a couple of years. So the window is usually 2 to 3 years.
Well, this is the thing, and you're not wrong. What I'm saying when it comes to this kind of situation, this is what I said in 2016 when the Raiders were on the roll before Derek Carr got hurt. I said that year, why not now? Like, yeah, the goal is to make the playoffs, and I didn't think going into 2016 that they were a Super Bowl contending team, but they were cooking with grease, and they had a lot of balls bounce their way, and they had a lot of opportunities come their way that they took advantage of. And so at the rate that they were at, I kept saying, well, why not now? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're winning so many games. Why stop there? Why just say, well, the playoffs, that was great. You know, now we'll come back next year and try to make the Super Bowl. All you got to do is get into the dance with momentum, not just limp into the playoffs. If you get into it with momentum, you knock off the Chiefs a few times, you have that, you're in that conversation, and that window is immediately open. And then real quick, you have a style of play that works well in the playoffs.
Yeah. There you go. And they do, especially they grind it out when they need to. So,
and I'll talk about that during the Q-tip.
Oh, good. There you go. That's called a tease.
That's right.
We're going now down to the great state of Louisiana and to the Big Easy to our good friend Steven. Steven, you're on with Q and Scott. What's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all? Back from vacation. I'm coming in hot. While I was in Destin, I was able to check out one of y'all's advertisers, Grimaldi's Pizzeria. So
nice.
They have one down in Florida, so I was able to contribute that way. You know, I direct messaged you this on Twitter, Scott.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to act Sunday. Like, what is this, like, feeling comfortable with 10 minutes to go in the game? I didn't know if I have, like, an addiction to, like, the last play should matter. But I kind of felt like, oh, this is kind of a letdown. I'm, like, used to, like, biting fingernails and shaking and trembling and sweating. And, oh, God, defense is on the field at the end. But we won it anyway. But, I'm real excited about the direction of the Raiders. Tell Gangsta Raider I'm on the train with him, and I'll drink the Kool-Aid as long as it's not some of that Jamarcus Russell purple syrup. Well, if they win, I'll drink some of that, too. I have the greatest idea for the post-game celebration. Now, they would have the video, and all the Raiders would have to have their mask on, because I think that's why we don't see those anymore, so the NFL can't find teams. But can't you see all the Raiders go, the wheels in the bus go round and round, round and round. That's all I got for today, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, either that or they put some Greyhound hats on, like, you know, Greyhound bus lines.
But, you know, nobody talked about Tom Brady when he walked around Allegiant and filmed a video.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Because you know what? The winners write the rules, baby.
Yeah, look, we live in such a everyone, you know, gets a ribbon type atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to choose my words correctly here so I don't get in trouble. But I'm telling you, man, it's like everyone, don't hurt their feelings. Don't do anything like that. Oh, man, forget that. Cut them open and pour some salt in it.
Yeah, it's a participation trophy generation.
Exactly. There you go. Thank you.
All right, we're going to sneak one call in here before we get to the top of the hour. It is Joey. He's been very patient. Joey, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up? Chuck, I got a couple things to say. One, I think we play the Chiefs twice more this year. So I'd rather, and honestly, I'd rather beat them both times, but I'd rather beat them later on this year than this Sunday. So if we have to lose one, I guess I'll take the loss this Sunday. But honestly, I think we're seeing something really special going on with this team because there are a bunch of storylines here. So you talked about Tom Cable being the head coach several years ago, going 8-8, missing the playoffs. Tom Cable got that job because he beat John Gruden in Tampa, Florida. I think it was 07 or 08, got Gruden fired. So now Gruden's back, hires Cable as his coach, and is on trajectory to make the playoffs, maybe the Super Bowl. Where is the Super Bowl being played this year? It's in Tampa. And, guys, who has a really good team down in Tampa? That's the Buccaneers led by Tom Brady. If you're a football fan, wouldn't you love to see the Raiders, coached by John Gruden, in Tampa against the Buccaneers led by Tom Brady, a rematch of the 2002 Super Bowl and a rematch of the 2001 Tuck Rule game? Wouldn't you love to see that? I mean, I just see all these storylines, and I just can't get enough of it. But my other practical question about something going on that I want you guys' opinion on is – there seems to be a disconnect right now between Carr and Waller. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, I think, you know, he scored the touchdown, obviously, against a couple weeks ago against the Browns. He had one. But I don't know. I just see Waller dropping a lot more passes than normal. I just wanted to know you guys' thoughts on that. Thanks for taking my call.
Joey, great call.
Great call.
Look, Hugh, I don't know about you. I don't think it's a disconnect between Carr and Waller. I think Waller just hasn't been as sure-handed. He's a great player.
No. He just hasn't looked the same to me.
Yeah.
Just going to be 100% honest with the situation. He hasn't looked the same. He looked like hasn't really been smiling and enjoying himself a whole lot. And he's been putting the ball on the ground. And it's just like he's almost in his own head right now.
Yeah. Not sure what's going on there. But all right. Top of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to get to our sided debate. We'll get to that for the week. Get you guys respond to that. We'll continue to roll through your callers. Phones have been crazy busy. 702-365-9200. And we'll get to Ramon coming up right after the break. You're up first for right after the break, my man. Okay. Q, Scott, it is Silver and Black today. We'll talk to you in just a moment.